Okay,
we are now recording. Welcome to the Peace Alliance Department of Peace Building monthly call. This call is a little bit different because we're a month out of our virtual advocacy.
We are now recording. Welcome to the Peace Alliance Department of Peace Building.
So you have an echo.
Yes.
Karen, if you want to mute me, maybe you have to do that. I'm on the landline.
That should not be causing what's going on right now. Let's see. Okay.
Is this a video Zoom call or a telephone only?
It can be both, yeah. So some people are on video, some people are on phones.
Okay, is the link handy? You said you could send it to me for the video? If not, I'll just
yes, I'll have to get your email address. Hold on.
You know, that's okay. I'll just stay on the phone.
Okay.
I can put it in the chat once I figure it
well,
out.
Well, if he's on the phone, he doesn't see the chat. Yeah.
Oh, correct. Yeah.
Just so complicated. Sorry.
I think the link is also on the Peace Alliance website on the Department of Peace Building page.
Maybe I'll find it and can join that way.
Okay. All right, so welcome to the call. We're going to do some brief introductions. A number of us are on the National Department of Peace Building Committee, and we'll just say hello and where we're from. If you're not part of the committee, please tell us a little bit about your experience with the Peace Alliance or the Department of Peacebuilding legislation campaign. And if there's something specific you'd like to get out of tonight's call, please let us know. Who would like to start? I'm Karen Johnson. I'm part of the National Department of Peacebuilding Committee, and I'm from Chicagoland.
And I'm
Robert.
Go ahead, Robert.
Robert?
Yes, I'll go. I'm Robert Weir. Back in 2006 to 2009, I was a regional coordinator in Southwest Michigan for the Campaign for Department of Peace, and have been pretty much inactive, although I've read your email since, and I just figured I would call in and see what's happening.
Great. Welcome.
And I'm Kendra Mann from Northern California, member of the National Building Committee.
I've been on mute talking all this time. I'm Ann Kreter on the Department of Peace Committee from New Jersey, outside of Philadelphia.
Thanks, Ann. Laura, I'd like to say hello. You were the first one on, I think.
You want me to go? Okay, I'm Laura Brown. I live up in northwestern Pennsylvania, and I started being more active in this group at the beginning of this year, and have been placing calls and building relationships, and I'm going to hopefully be writing a blog soon about everything that you guys are doing, we're doing, and I'm not a part of the committee, but I am very interested in being a part of the advocacy days, and I'm hoping to learn as much as I can about how to be effective.
Great. Very welcome. Very welcome. Deborah, do you want to go next?
Yep, I'm Deborah Posse. I'm on the National Department of Peacebuilding Committee. I'm in suburban Atlanta, Georgia. And my Zoom keeps zooming in and out, so I'll probably turn it off and just stay on the phone.
Fernando?
Yes, hi, I'm Fernando. I'm from the state of Georgia, and I'm the intern with with Peace Alliance at this time.
With Georgia,
Okay. Did we hear from Steve? Did you say a little about yourself yet? He may be trying to get online. Different read. How about Jean or Jean King? Would you like to say hello and tell us where you're from and anything else you'd like to say?
I'm Jean and I'm from Tennessee and I'm just here to learn.
Great. All right, and we've got another Jean on the line. Would you like to say something?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good. How are you tonight?
Wonderful, thank you. I'm Jean and I'm from Leesburg, Virginia. And I'm just an amateur at this whole thing. So I'm just listening in and see if I can do my part of doing something great.
Sounds wonderful. Amateurs are actually work very well on this. Excuse my phone.
Amateurs are constituents.
Yes.
Oh, I hear Pat.
Another constituent from the Mass Campaign for Department of Peace.
I don't see
Pat's box. Even though you're on the phone, Pat, we usually have a box that shows us that you are there.
Oh, well.
She doesn't want to be boxed in.
Without a box.
objectified as usual.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I named you Steve. Okay.
Oh, that's Steve. Oh, okay.
It doesn't really work.
No. Now we see. Your box lit up and you were called Steve and now you are Pat from the
Now I'm Pat.
Yes.
took a long time to get named.
Yes. Okay. So we can do kind of a brief overview of our agenda for tonight. Oh, Nancy, you didn't speak.
I was going to say, where's Nancy?
Raising your hand.
I don't know. I just I'm with the committee, and I'm from Northern California, on fire region right now.
Again.
Yes.
And did Robert Ware speak? Because I think you wrote a book.
Before he,
he did.
Oh, yes, okay. He did. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You wrote a book that I think. Did you write a book?
Yes, I did. I've written 3 or 4 of them.
Oh, okay. I think I have one of your books that somebody from the Peace Alliance gave me a long time ago.
It's probably titled "Peace, Justice, Cure of Earth," the biography of John McConnell, who founded the original Earth Day, which is not on April 22.
Oh.
Okay, it's the untold story.
Okay, I think that might be it.
And it's on Amazon. Wow. So check it out.
Okay, we'll look it up.
Okay, so briefly the agenda we're going to go through. People on the committee are going to talk a little bit about different segments about the campaign and the bill and advocacy days. And then we'll have another segment that's just talking about the actions and scheduling meetings, in particular about this virtual advocacy days this year. And then we'll open it up to discussion and we'll throw out a couple of questions and see if anybody else has any other burning questions that they'd like to discuss for 20 or minutes or so, if all works well. And then we'll give you some sampling of the speakers that have already confirmed for Sunday, September 20th, right before our advocacy days when we're asking people to make phone calls or schedule meetings if possible, and have a closing quote. Our tradition is, before we get into the agenda, that we do some type of connection exercise just to let go of everything else that's going on in our lives and bring us connected into this call together. Kendra, would you like to do that for us this time?
Sure. It helps me. So, so let's just all sit up straight and head back over our shoulders, arms hanging down, feet on the flat, feet on the floor. Let's imagine, if you feel like it, close your eyes and imagine that as you are taking a deep breath inward, that it is passing through your heart. And as you are exhaling, imagining that it is exhaling through your heart. And we do this because our heart is a center of intelligence and wisdom, and we're warming up our hearts and connecting to our deepest source of wisdom and to one another through our hearts. So one more deep breath. Now we are so centered and so wise that we'll be able to move.
Okay. All right. And Kendra is going to also lead us off with some history and some information, summary information about the bill.
Okay. So we constantly learn more about the history, but I'm going to do a very brief story, and there's more online. Our founding fathers talked about it. The president, George Washington, talked about it. Benjamin Rush, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, wrote an essay about the plan for a peace office for the United States, and it was published in 1793. And then at that time, the plan was to create a Secretary of Peace who would be a genuine Republican in the small r and sincere Christian. So there was a lot of reference to the Bible and to Christianity, but also things like establishing and maintaining free schools in every city, village, and township. So even at that time, there was a broader sense of what the Department of Peace could be. And also to subdue the passion for war, militia laws should everywhere be repealed, and military dresses and military titles should be laid. I thought that was interesting. Then in 1925, that did not happen, by the way, and that's still working these days, 1793 to the present. 1925, Carrie Chapman Catt, who was founder of the League of Women Voters, also suggested public, the cabinet level Department of Peace and Secretary of Peace. Gradually, over the years, there were a number of, impetus, but that's not a plural. But anyway, there were a number of efforts to create a Department of Peace in the Congress. And what I thought was interesting was that they were submitted by both Democrats and in 1947 by Representative Everett Dirksen, Republican from Illinois. And then in 1969, there was a co-sponsor. There was the first bipartisan bill, and both houses were in trying to pass the bill by Senator Vance Hartke. It was introduced by him and a Republican, Representative Seymour Halpern from New York. So that was a bipartisan effort from the start. And then in 1979, Senator Clark Matsunaga of Hawaii reintroduced the bill. And we did get the Institute of Peace out of that legislation by an indirect route, but that was one thing that we did get out of it. And then in 2001, when most of us became involved, or afterwards, Dennis Kucinich, the Democrat of Ohio, introduced the bill, and he broadened even greater what the peace was about, that it was not just about international peace or peace in government, but it was about peace between us and within us. And in 2008, there was a Republican co-sponsor of that bill, Representative Wayne Gilchrist of Maryland. And then 2005, Senator Mark Dayton introduced the legislation in the Senate to create a cabinet level department of peace. And that storied incident was a child met him in the Senate cafeteria and asked him to author the bill. And he did. And then in 2013, Representative Barbara Lee took over the sponsorship of the bill when Dennis Kucinich was no longer in the House of Representatives. And over the years, she has changed and modified the bill so that, and she has asked for the committee's help to submit suggestions about how it could be rewritten. So I really appreciate that, because I feel that that's a definite part of peace building, is asking for citizen help. So the general purpose of the bill is to reduce and prevent violence domestically and internationally by facilitating a culture of peace and justice in family, schools, countries, communities, government, and between nations. It would promote the cultivation of peace as a strategic policy objective and as an urgent national priority. The bill calls for the department's budget to be used, 85% of it to be used for domestic peace programs. And because effective violence prevention programs have consistently proved to be safe as well as life-saving, we constantly advocate for passage saying that it will save the government money, as it has saved police departments money, as it has saved our county government's money when they institute restorative justice programs. Then a few years ago, Barbara Lee changed the bill fundamentally by embodying building within the bill itself, so that it would not be, the Department of Peace Building would not be a competitor for with other agencies for power or money or recognition. We listened, and we listened to critics of the bill, and they saw it as a threat to other programs or a competitor to other programs. And so she recreated it as a resource and support to other government agencies and the military. And you can read more about key highlights of the bill or the bill itself online. So that's my summary. Thank you.
That was really good.
Yes, thank you, Kendra. I appreciate that. So Deborah, you're going to talk about the offices within the bill for a
yes? There's seven offices, and that's the Office of Peace Education and Training, Office of Domestic Peacebuilding Activities, Office of International Peacebuilding Activities, Office of Technology for Peace, Office of Armed Control and Disarmament, Office of Peace Building Information and Research, and Office of Human Rights and Economic Rights. So you can see that the many different disciplines in government are all exist in the bill. And then there's also sort of an intergovernmental advisory council on peace and a federal interagency committee on peace. And the intergovernmental advisory council on peace would be very necessary now because we have such a conflict between local government, state government, and federal government. So.
Okay, great. Thanks, Deborah. Yeah, it's pretty much everything that applies to life on the planet. Let's address it all in a peaceful way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then just a little bit about how will the bill become law? You know, the kind of the short answer is it will become law when enough people ask for it and influence their representatives to sign on and bring it to a vote and have it become law. There are certainly logistics in how a bill becomes law, so we won't get into the detail of that. But essentially, the more co-sponsors we have, if the more likely it will be brought to a vote. We've heard several times that ideally, once we have bipartisan support, it would be more likely to have a hearing and then have more attention and be brought to a vote. So we're working on that as we work on as many representatives as possible joining as co-sponsors. And we're actually doing pretty good with that. A lot of bills don't even have as many co-sponsors as we have now. So and then Nancy is going to talk to us about why we have advocacy days.
As we want a Department of Peace building. Yeah, I just quickly wanted to say about how a bill becomes law is it is not always dependent on how many co-sponsors. It also depends on the political will that observed by the committee chair of the person of the committee and the whoever's the current Speaker of the House. And then, of course, it has to pass the House, the Senate, and get signed into law by the President. So it's not easy. So why we have why we have advocacy days? For many years, we've traveled to Washington, D.C., usually around International Day of Peace, to advocate with members of Congress for a Department of Peace building and other peace building legislation and policies. For those who are current sponsors, we thank them for doing that. For those who are potential co-sponsors, we ask them to sign on to the current bill, and for all of them, we ask them to sign on to the bill in the next Congress. So this bill will be reintroduced in early 2021. So we're always forward thinking because it's quite unlikely it'll pass this time around. So when we advocate, we do a couple of things. We walk the halls of Congress to conduct formal and informal meetings with members of Congress and their staffs. And for those who can't go to Washington, D.C., we amplify the visits we're making by calling a list of potential co-sponsors. In 2019, we visited almost 200 Congress and Senate offices. So Advocacy Days is about promoting peace building and the Department of Peace Building legislation, but it's also about building relationships with congressional offices and with other peace builders. In many cases, we have maintained these relationships for years now. And these relationships are part of our annual cycle of connecting with members of Congress and seeking DLP co-sponsors during Season for Nonviolence, Mother's Day, Peace Wants a Piece of the Pie meetings, and other summer, fall, and holiday advocacy days. And Advocacy Days is part of our education, legislation, and peace building efforts to build bridges and not walls. So that's a little bit about Advocacy Days.
Thank you. And Anne is going to talk us a little bit about the global UN effort, because we're not just doing this in the United States, this is happening around the world.
Yes, I think that that is the thing that surprises most people, especially when they get surprised when they hear what Kendra said about how we've had this idea for departments of peace since the beginning of our country, but also there's actually an international trend and a global movement to create departments and ministries of peace in other countries. In fact, there are five countries that have existing functioning ministries of peace: Costa Rica, Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, Ethiopia, and Afghanistan is the most recent new one, which is quite exciting. There are certain countries like Nepal and the Philippines that have had departments of peace in the past, depending upon like who's politically in power at the time. And you know, there's conflicts that make it hard sometimes to continue to have a department of peace in certain of the smaller countries. But there's other lesser peace structures that certain countries have. They're not full-fledged departments in their national governments, but they're infrastructures for peace, which is a term that the United Nations uses to describe the whole idea of creating structures on other levels besides just national in countries. For instance, like peace councils, peace academies, peace committees that all are focused on the same function that a Department of Peace building would be wanting to create. For instance, Canada has a Ministry for Women, Peace and Security. So it's not considered a functioning department or ministry of peace, but the peace is part of what the new function of this brand new department or ministry is. And other countries like Ghana and Kenya and Kyrgyzstan have peace councils and commissions. So the other thing is that I'm on a committee that Nancy and Kendra are also on, the Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures for Peace, which has been in existence since 2005 when it first started around, I guess it was like a couple years after the Peace Alliance started by the one of the women that was the co-founder of the Peace Alliance had this international scope, Dot Maven, that you may have heard of. And we've had six international summits since 2005 in starting in London, England, Canada, Japan, Costa Rica, South Africa, and the last one was in Geneva, Switzerland. We haven't had one in a few years, but we're planning now that the organization has become reactivated in the last year or two, and we're hoping to have a summit next year in Latin America. And so the only other thing I would like to say real quick is that what we've been working on since the beginning of the Global Alliance is to create or to have a resolution passed in the UN General Assembly encouraging all member states to establish ministries and departments of peace. And in the last 6 months, we're getting a lot of traction on this. So stay tuned. And that's, oh, and I just want to show you my shirt I put on. This is from the, can you see it? This
yes.
is from Canada Summit was the first time that I went in 2000. And I can still wear it. Still get it. So anyway, that's all.
Thank you, Anne. Yeah, it's nice when something you've been working on for a long time starts getting traction. It's a yeah. wonderful celebration. Yeah. Okay.
Well, good. Sure. That's,
that's a shirt to show for it. So that's kind of the overview things. Now we'll get into this year in particular. Does anybody have a question before we move on to the next segment that they'd like to address, something about the history or the bill or anything that they're curious about?
I had a question.
Is
there a website or something for that last piece that was talked about with the Global Alliance for something in peace.
I'm glad that you said that because I had that written and I forgot to say it. It's GAMIP, GAMIP.org.
GAMIP.org, great.
Yes, and it has a lot of information on it.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks for asking.
Okay. All right, the next
segment would you repeat that URL one more time?
Yes, it's GAMIP.org.
GAMIP, like Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures for Peace. So that's right. What GAMIP stands for.
Thank you.
Yeah. Those are the words.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura, for asking. It's my last thing and I forgot.
No worries. We get there. We're all a team. Everything will be spoken. Right. It needs to be spoken. We don't have to remember everything ourselves. Someone will notice. Okay, so we've got a few minutes each on action options and scheduling meetings from both Nancy and Deborah. Let's go this year.
Okay, so for Advocacy Days 2020, for obvious reasons, we're reimagining our education, legislation, and relationship building efforts. Somebody coming on the call said that they were amateurs. We're all amateurs. We've just tried a few more times than maybe you have. And one of these days we'll get it down. I don't know, maybe. So on September 20th, we'll conduct online peace and forums and discussions with prominent peace builders, legislators, and DOP advocates. And you'll hear more about that later. And then from September 21st to 25th, we'll do our peace out actions, which include contacting your own member of Congress, and we'll provide a link for you to do that. Very easy thing to click on. We'll contact an Amplify list of approximately 26 members of Congress who we think may be more likely than others to sign on as co-sponsors or who were former co-sponsors. We'll contact them to ask them to co-sponsor again. And this list will be posted on our DOP website page, which you can access through the Peace Alliance page. And it will include instructions on what to say and that kind of thing. And if we have more time and you want to go into that, I can. And then we'll have another list. We'll ask people to contact another list that we're calling our thank you list, which is contacting our 37 current co-sponsors and thanking them for co-sponsoring and ask them to sign on as co-sponsors in early January 2021. And again, this list will be posted on our website, and these will all be in some various e-blasts that go out. And then participating in possible Zoom Member of Congress meetings, which Deborah will talk about more. And as I mentioned before, these are all Amplify actions for our ongoing efforts of peace building and Department of Peace and to build bridges, not walls. And watch for more information, and I'm glad to answer questions later if you want.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. Deborah, do you want to talk about the scheduling meetings?
You're muted.
Oh, let me unmute her. Maybe I muted her because there was. Okay, now I'm not able to unmute her. Deborah, you're muted. I'm not able to unmute you here. Can you unmute yourself? There, no.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to explain about contacting Congress, not about the actual technical, how to set up the technical part of the meeting. So, first of all, finding your member of Congress, you want to go to www.house.gov. And this is just contacting your member. And you look up in the right-hand corner of the page, you see a little map of the U.S., and there's a little window, and then you put your zip code in the window, click the button. It will take you to a rep. If it takes you to more than one, then enter the other four digits of your zip code. And it takes you to a rep, and you click on that rep, and you are on that rep's web page. And that is when how you schedule a meeting. So there's basically three ways to schedule. You can schedule through webmail, email, or by phone. So you go to your Member of Congress's website, and you at the top you see a list, kind of a bar. It says home about issues, legislation, constituent services, media, and contact. When you click on contact, you might see when you click on contact these options: scheduling request, meeting request, request appearance, something like that. If you see any of those, click them on. And that's one web option, and you fill out the form. And you're going to have various information, and I'll go over the information later. But then if you see an email, you might see an email address, or you might see a phone number. If you don't see either of those, and you don't see any kind of request appearance or scheduling request or meeting request, then you can use the contact me email form. And you click on that, you click on the issues, and one of the selections could be meeting request, scheduling request, appearance request, something like that. If you see that, you can click that on. And then you just enter, and you just ask for the meeting in the email. And I'll go over what to include later, but then if you get email address, use the email address and send an email to that email address. If you get the phone number, then call that phone number. You're going to need all of this information: your name, your email address, your phone number, full street address with zip code, the day or time frame that you want to have a virtual meeting, and you want to remember to include virtual meeting. This is not an actual physical appearance. You also want to remember to include that you will gladly meet with a staff member. You want to remember the name of the bill, H.R. 1111, Department of Peacebuilding Act of 2019. You want to remember the Peace Alliance and the Peace Alliance website, www.peacealliance.org. And see, I think there was something else in here, but that you need all of that information. You need the information about who might join you in the meeting. And then if you have participated in Season of Nonviolence, you want to indicate that. And also, if you do not have internet access at all, then you want to, go to the congressional, this is no internet access, congressional switchboard 202-224-3121 to give your zip code. And in that case, if you have absolutely no internet, you might want to just schedule a phone call with a staffer. And yeah, I didn't go into a lot of detail on this, but let us know if you want some more detail.
And I might also say, if you're going to call the office, I usually ask for the scheduler.
Yes, I have that one. I was going to. If you fill out the form, you will get the scheduler. If you're given an email address, you will get the email address of the scheduler. If you send it to the web form, the scheduler will be. If you call, you do want to indicate, or if you just say you want to schedule a meeting, that it is good to ask for the scheduler. So yeah, that was one of mine. I didn't go through everything, but that was one of mine. And you'll have to, you may have to do multiples, like if you don't hear back from one in one way, then try a different form. Like if you don't hear back from email, try phone call, but then mention the email and ask if they received the email, or webmail, and, you know, do various forms. So.
Great, great.
I had a question.
Yes, go ahead, Laura.
Are we supposed to ask for a meeting sometime between the 21st and the 25th? And how long are the meetings generally? Like half an hour, 15 minutes, or an hour?
Yeah, that would be the timing or whatever time works for you. But that's what we're shooting for. You know, mostly, yeah, the 21st through the 23rd or the week of that whole week. But
okay.
Around that time. And if they come back and say, well, actually, it's not possible that week, here's another week, whenever you can get a meeting.
Go ahead and do it, okay.
Focus on a group of days to reach out during that time. Certainly when we're actually traveling to Washington, D.C., the dates are more important than when we're doing virtual calls. But okay. It's also nice to group the calls in at the same amount of time, and maybe there's a little buzz on the Hill that they're having a lot of virtual meetings or something.
And then how long are the meetings generally?
That will depend on the office. They, quite often they're 30 minutes, but they could be 15 minutes. So it's what time they're willing to give you. Sometimes they're 45 minutes or an hour. But it's, you'll see how much time that they're willing to give you. Yeah.
And sometimes they give us 15 minutes, but then they enjoy being with us because we're not hostile. And it turns into 45 minutes.
And sometimes they give us an hour. Not often, but sometimes. do we have time on the call to get a sense of who might be willing to participate in the meetings and who your member of Congress is? I don't know if we should put that in the chat or what.
Yeah, well, we're just a couple people besides the committee members. So I think, Laura, you indicated.
I'm very happy to participate. And I think I was given four people. They're actually not in my immediate area. They're out in Eastern Pennsylvania. I'm in Western Pennsylvania. And I've been contacting them, you know, since the beginning of the year. So I'm happy to with that.
Okay. And who is your member of Congress? Nancy might already know that, but because you've been on the calls before. But
do you want me to keep going with the four people I was working with before, or add someone to the list? Or
I would say go with the four you've been working with.
Okay.
Partly, I think we chose them that they might be more likely, and partly because you now have a history and a relationship with them.
Right.
I'm just curious, where do you live in Pennsylvania, Laura?
I'm in northwestern Pennsylvania. It's up near Erie.
Oh, okay.
North of Pittsburgh.
Oh, north of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so way up in the northwestern part.
And how about Robert? Do you know if you might participate this year with us?
It's a possibility. Again, I'm just connecting with you for the first time in a long time and recognizing some of your faces from back in the 2000s. My representative is Fred Upton. He's a Republican, has been in Congress since 1988, I believe. And I'm actively campaigning for his candidate, for his opponent. The candidate who's running against him. And I've also been writing to Congressman Up via email many times, reporting or offering, suggesting that he vote differently on a lot of issues that are currently in the news. So it's a possibility that I would write something to him. I also know that I met with him 4 or 5 times, both in Washington and in Kalamazoo, Michigan, when I was the regional coordinator in Southwest Michigan. And he's a person who, in a leadership position, does not listen. We would go and talk with him, we'd say what we want, and then for the next 20 minutes, he would tell us what a great guy he is and all, how he's very bipartisan, doing all kinds of good things. But of course, he would not support the bill at that time. So, it might be worth it to contact him in that regard. I expect the same answers that I got 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
No, I'm sure he's looking forward to hearing from you again.
Yeah. Nancy, you and I met at a national convention, and yes. I think you and I met at a national convention. Yeah. And you both look familiar, and Karen, you and I met in Illinois at one of the regional conferences there when yes. Marianne Williamson was part of our circuit.
Yeah.
And I keep in touch with Bob Kohler, peace advocate and journalist.
Yeah, so, he's a great journalist. Yeah.
So again, I feel like I'm just kind of satisfying some curiosity by tuning in here today, and I'll communicate with you more, and I'll be in contact with some people who are part of the our Department of Peace committee in Southwest Michigan, and just let them know that I've tuned back in with you, and let's just see what develops from that.
That sounds great. Thanks, Robert.
Okay. It's good to see you again.
Good to see your face too, yeah, and hear your voice. Jean from Virginia, would you like to say anything about what you're thinking at this point?
She's muted.
Yes, you are muted, Jean, if you wanted to speak.
I think that Jean, there were two Jeans, right?
Yeah.
I think one of them may have left.
Right.
Jean King, I see, still there.
Yeah.
From Tennessee.
I think the other Jean was from Tennessee. I may have mislabeled them. I do that sometimes.
Oh. Here she is.
You're unmuted now. Any Jean who's willing to speak.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you now, Jean.
Oh, okay. I'm the one from Leesburg, Virginia. I'm the amateur in all of this, but I'm still just listening to everything and trying to learn as much as I possibly can. I'm just listening to everyone and just trying to get a feel for it. I'm just trying to get a feel for it.
It's a lot to soak in at first, yeah.
Do you know who your member of Congress is?
I gotta say no, but I can always, you know, pull up the information easily. So
okay. It'd be nice to have some involvement from Virginia, the great state of Virginia.
Yeah. Well, you got it.
We do have some people who have been active from Virginia too, so we could link you up with them too if that works for both of you. You can also email nancy@peacealliance.org if you wanted to ask more, you know, if you come up with some more specific questions or want to have a phone conversation with Nancy or one of us after the call. That's a possibility. Once things have kind of soaked in a little more, you have a chance to go on the website or whatever your process may be. We have earmarked a little bit of discussion time here. We've got a few minutes. First, I wanted to see if anybody has any questions that have arisen from the information and the conversation so far, or if we wanted to talk about kind of talking points or why would a representative entertain this conversation with so much. It's always the question. There's so much going on in the world, but the Department of Peace Building Bill is a solution for so much that's going on in the world at the same time. So anybody have questions or would like us to hear the conversation in a certain way?
Yeah, actually, Karen, you basically have asked my question. If the talking points are not online someplace where I could read them, I'd like to know, you know, how the conversations might go. What are the talking points? What are the key things that you would like us to say? And again, if this is information online, just tell me where to find it.
Yeah, that's true. We will get some updated talking points for this year in particular. We do have information on the Department of Peacebuilding page on the peacealliance.org website, generally about the bill and why it's important. There are about 5 or 6 different reference documents there to get talking points and key highlights and things like that. We'll come up with some speaking points for this year in particular. But generally, that's what I like to say. There's always something going on, but prevention is a big part of the bill. Just like anything else in life, if we're always in chaos or putting out fires, we don't have the time to build the structures that would keep us from having the fires and the chaos. And so we just keep advocating for prevention. And when we make these arguments in meetings, the staffers and representatives, they get it. They don't have an argument for it. We just got to keep building the campaign and keeping up the relationships and the conversations and get to a bigger point for it to turn. You know, and sometimes there's all these different things happening in the world and we never know when it's going to point toward this. So we just keep preparing for that moment and keep on keeping on.
One thing that always crosses my mind is that we need an ongoing seat at the table of government to elevate peace building to a national priority. We have scattered things here and there, and sometimes yes, sometimes no, but we need to do this in a systemic way.
Hi, this is Deborah. One reason that we don't have more co-sponsors is that a lot of times we have meetings and sometimes the staff likes it, but they don't have any, we don't have any constituents. And having constituents, in fact, being able to schedule a meeting with some names of constituents would really, really help. And I know we've got 3 members of Congress that we're going to be probably trying to set up meetings with that are from Tennessee and Virginia, and that's Congressman Bobby Scott, Congressman Beyer in Virginia, and Congressman Steve Cohen in Tennessee. So those of you, I sent a little email, a way you can contact me, and of course I'll let Nancy know right away. But it would be, if you're interested, it would be really great, particularly if your constituents, even if you're in the state, but if your constituents in the district, it would be like really, really helpful to be able to know that you are interested in participating before we schedule a meeting. So we could say, well, you know, there's some constituents that are going to attend this meeting. That makes all the difference in the world. I saw it with my own eyes last year in Congresswoman Trahan's office when Pat called and they talked about, though, there's a constituent. That's all, I'm talking to each other about that. So that makes a whole lot of difference. So please let me know, Deborah Poss, DeborahPoss2@gmail.com. I'll let Nancy know right away. Thank you.
Thanks, Deborah.
And it was especially important that it was Pat.
Yes. And Pat, you are muted and I'm not able to unmute you in case you wanted to say something. You can unmute your phone. Any other talking points that come to mind to anybody else that they'd like to drop in here at this point? Yes, Fernando, you're muted.
Yes, I would like to see if, I have my dogs around. The letter for the High Commissioner of Human, the United Nations is okay with what I sent you the draft, and I was wondering, is that approved in order to send it to her?
Okay, I'll email you after the call, okay?
Perfect, thank you. Okay. And also, I want to make a very interesting comment about the largest employers of the world. We have the United States Department of Defense is the largest employer of the world with 3.2 million people. And second is the Army of China. This is the curious thing. And the third largest employer is Walmart with 2.1 million people. So McDonald's is the fourth. So that tells you that we have more people involved in the Department of Defense employed by our government. So it's a lot of peace work that we have to do there.
Yeah.
That's the comment that I just want to make.
Well, I'm
doing some research and that's...
Yeah.
That reminds me of something that I wanted to share. This is the brand new book, Karen, that we fought for last 2 years ago when we went to the World Beyond War workshop. Karen and I, along with the Canadian head of the Department of Peace campaign, did a workshop with World Beyond War. And they have this whole publication that comes out every 2 years. And we have 3 pages in it now about infrastructures for peace. And Fernando, the reason why I'm saying this now is because it starts out, Saul wrote this, and it starts out exactly with what you said, that we want a committee or a department to balance all of the resources that would equal the Department of War, the Department of Defense.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, you use the tools you have, and we need to have, oh, Fernando, you're muted again.
Yeah, it's exactly why we need to keep working hard on this.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we're approaching the end of the call already. These calls always go so fast. There's always so much we could be talking about. Laura, did you have anything else that you'd like to ask or jump in on before?
No, I think that's it. Just, I had the 4, they're all women, actually, congresswomen. So should I set up meetings with all 4? Is that what we're aiming for here? With me?
Yes.
During that week? Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah, that would be ideal. That would be wonderful.
If as you're doing that, would you keep me posted so I can, I'm keeping a master list so we don't overlap if possible, and so we can let you know what Zoom silo they'll be in, that kind of thing?
Yep.
Thank you very much.
And we'll have another third Wednesday call in September. That will be right before International Day of Peace call on Sunday and the advocacy, so we can go into more detail about meetings themselves. But we'll give you a little preview of who we're going to be hearing from on September 20th, that Sunday. And I think it's going to be starting at 9 o'clock Pacific, noon Eastern. And we'll run somewhere between 4 and 6 hours, we believe, with breaks, et cetera. So we've got Dennis Kucinich, who I think most people know is the originator of the 2001 bill and a champion of peace in a lot of different ways now and before. Barbara Lee is the sponsor of the current bill and has been a civil rights leader for quite some time. Rita Marie Johnson, some of you are familiar with, who's an author, educator, and she was an advocate for the Costa Rica Ministry of Justice and Peace. Ambassador Chowdhury, he's the former UN Secretary General and champion of global peace, in particular interest in the culture of peace and the rights of women and children. Cynthia Gilliam is with the San Diego Kids for Peace, has been active for quite some time. And Dot Maber, of course, one of our former executive directors, and she is the founder of the National Peace Academy. And my light is going away. Okay. And we'll have some people from the Global Alliance and Ministries for Ministries and Infrastructures of Peace from a couple of continents, and we're confirming those. I think then we're ready for our closing quote.
And Azim Kamisa, I left that off the list. It was the author and about forgiveness and educator.
Ah, okay. All right, Nancy, are you doing the quote?
I am, unless Pat has one.
Yeah, Pat is still muted and I can't unmute her, and maybe she can't unmute herself.
So this is from the Lumbee tribe in North Carolina. It says, seek wisdom, not knowledge. Knowledge is of the past, wisdom is of the future.
And here we are building the future of peace, culture of peace. All right, thank you all for participating. That's the end of our call for tonight, and we'll hopefully see many of you in about 1 month.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Nice to meet you all.
Yeah, nice seeing you all.